Please bear with me. I'm afraid of my English. So please pray for me and please bear with me. Bear with my English. First of all, I want to tell about our project called KFC. When I say KFC, it is not your Kentucky Fried Chicken. KFC stands for Kui for Christ. There is a tribe called Kui, and they are very much primitive. They live in jungle and mountains. They are very much uncivilized. The Lord has put a burden on me to reach them, to do something for them. So we are praying for these Kui people. And to start with, we had a big crusade in the month of February. Pastor Donnie Shoemate and other three good preachers came to India, and we had big crusade. Every day, more than 4,000 people gathered. And we had to feed them morning, afternoon, and in the night. And it was a big project. And when the altar call was given, 617 people came forward. Amen. I cannot say that they are all saved, but that many people came forward when the invitation was extended. So please continue to pray for these Kui people. We want to take as many children as possible from this community to our children's home. This is one of our projects. Then, secondly, our children's homes are doing well. When I say well, it is not altogether well. We are facing some restrictions from the government. This present government is totally against Christianity. They are putting so many do's and don'ts. Indirectly, they are opposing the gospel. They are against the gospel. So we have 270 children in four children's homes. We actually had 300 children, but because of restrictions from the government, it is reduced by 30. Now we have only 270, but we hope to make it 300 again this year. The schools are reopened this month, and we will take a few more children. Then also, we are praying to start our fifth children's home. In a state called Andhra Pradesh, there is a church. It's not IGM church, but once I visited that church, and they construct a big building to start a children's home. But they are facing a lot of difficulties to start the children's home. So they said, Obed, you have some experience in this line, so why not you start your children's home? We will give you the building. There's a brand new building available, and we are looking for some funds. We are praying for some funds. We want to take 30 to 40 students for that children's home, to our fifth children's home. Last time I told you that to take care of a child, we need $30 a month. $30 a month to take care of a child. And all our children are doing good. One of our boys has become medical doctor now. Another boy became engineer now. And one girl, she was a small small kid. Actually, I lost my daughter in 1992. In remembrance of her, I took a girl, and she grew up, and she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and we sent her for nursing training. After completing, she married to a pastor. Instead of becoming a nurse in a hospital, she is helping her husband in church planting program. So many of our children have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, And some of them are in the full-time ministry, few of them, and they are in God's ministry. Please continue to pray for our children's homes. And we have Pastor's College. Actually, it is a Bible college, but we call it Pastor's College. Because, you know, nowadays many young people go to Bible colleges. They learn theology, they learn how to play guitar, and they pick up good English. And they speak English, play guitar, and don't do anything. So we say, young people, come to our center. Come and learn, come to learn, and go to serve. If you have the burden to plant churches, win souls and plant churches, come and learn here. So right now we have 42 young men and women undergoing training. And this year we are praying for 100 new students. 42 are there already. They will continue. And we are praying for 100 new students. That is the goal of our pastor's college. Our goal is to make them church planters. See, we have adopted or we have taken 6 states of our country, India. There are 29 states altogether, and our ministry, IGM, is working in 6 states. In these 6 states, there are 167 districts. 167 districts. God has given us a vision and a burden to plant 10 churches in each district. That will make 1,670 churches. To present a project like this is very easy. But to implement, to plant that many churches is impossible. I know it. But nothing is impossible with God. So we are praying and trying, praying and trying, and hope God will help us. It is not 1-year project. It will take about 15 to 20 years. Take 100 students every year, train up and send them. Train up and send them. You know, there are 600,000 villages in India. And these villages are very, very hard to reach with the gospel. To some villages, you cannot go even on bicycles. So please pray for this pastor's college. Through this, we want to plant 1,670 churches, Lord willing, Lord enabling. So please pray for this project. And for this pastor's college, this year, we are praying for just 12 bicycles. We are not praying for cars or motorbikes, but just 12 bicycles. Why? We have villages around our mission campus, mission compound, main mission center. There are 12 villages. Of course, there are many more villages as you go forward, but there are 12 villages around our mission center. And if our Bible students have a bicycle, regularly they will be able to go to villages and preach the gospel. So please pray for this. Then we have, as I told you, we have taken 6 states. And one of our projects is this. We want to place John's Gospel, the Book of Romans, and a very, very good, effective gospel tract to every home of all these 6 states. It's a very big project. John's Gospel and the Book of Romans and a gospel tract to every home of these 6 states. And if we get them printed outside, it will cost us very much, too much. So we are praying for a printing press of our own. If we had a printing press of our own, we could save a lot of money. So please pray for this project, peddling the gospel to 6 states. It's a big, big project. We need this literature in millions. We have to print in 5 languages. Oriya, Hindi, English, not English, Oriya, Telugu, Hindi, Marathi, and Kannada. Five languages. By the way, there are 1,652 languages in India. So please pray for our country, India. Pray for our ministry. Pray for me. Pray for the government. We are facing a lot of problems from the government. And next year, there will be general election. Pray that this government should go. And a new government should come. Please pray for us. This is all about us, all about our work. And I'll tell you one thing. We have main mission center. We have buildings, a church and pastor's college, this and that, big mission campus. Behind our main building, there is a small mountain. On the top of that mountain, Hindu people have some idols of their deity. Now and then they go there and they have big festival, they worship, they make big lot of noise. So this time when they went to have some program there to the top of that mountain, they noticed that their idols were damaged. So they all leaders, Hindu leaders, they went to the police station and they lodged a complaint. And they mentioned our name. They said, who will go there except for IGM people? Because they live there by the side of, at the bottom of that mountain. So they are responsible. And all BJP is totally against Christianity. All BJP people came, police people came, and they put 110 questions. I boldly said, I don't think that our people damaged those idols. See, we get up at 5 o'clock, 5 to 6, our prayer time. 6 to 7 is our working time. And 7 to 8, all our people get ready to go to school, go to office, go to Bible college. Then we start our work. And as soon as our children come back, they again work. Then they have play time and they have study time, prayer time. And by the time they go to bed, it is 9 o'clock. Our people are fully busy. And most of our children are from Hindu background. So there is no possibility for our people to go to that mountain and damage those idols. But you make an inquiry, if you find any fault with us, we are ready to face any kind of judgment, any kind of consequence. So I told them, and they are very much against us. They are trying to find, they are trying to get some clue to harass us, to create problem to our ministry. Please pray for us. And by the way, about this printing press, we need about $15,000 to buy simple, ordinary printing machines. So please pray for us, pray for our country. Pray for our ministry. This evening, I would like to share with you from the Word of God. My topic is very, very, very simple. But this is very essential for an individual Christian. This is very, very needful for a church, Bible-believing church. My topic this evening is Sychar Ministry. Sychar Ministry, S-Y-C-H-A-R. That name you will find in the book of John, chapter number 4. Will you please turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 4, verses 5, 6, and 7. John 4, 5, 6, 7. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 4, verses from 5 to 7. Yes, thank you, thank you. I'm so thankful to you all for standing to read the word of God. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. You see the name Sychar here in verse number 5. Before we go farther, may I request each one of you to please bow your heads and close your eyes for a word of prayer. You please pray individually in your heart. Pray that God might speak to you. Pray that God the Holy Spirit might help you to understand the message tonight. You just pray. I confess before you that I am not a good speaker. I know my limitation in English. I know my struggling, my weakness. So you please look unto the Lord that He might speak to you. Holy God and Heavenly Father, gracious God and merciful God, we all of us unite our hearts together and we praise you, thank you, we worship you, we love you, and Lord, we bless your holy name. Yes, Lord, we thank you because we are your children and you are our Father. We belong to you and you belong to us. God, we worship you because you are worthy to be worshipped. There is no other God apart from you. You are the only God, true God, triune God, living God, everlasting God. We worship you, praise you, and thank you. You are omnipotent God. You are omniscient God. You are omnipresent God, creator of the whole universe. We love you, praise you, and thank you. We kiss your holy feet. God, we thank you for all your blessings and benefits in our lives. We are totally unworthy people, hell-bound sinners. Oh God, you sought us and saved us and made us your own children. We thank you and praise you. Heavenly Father, our names are written in the book of life. We thank you and praise you. We have that blessed hope. We thank you and praise you. Heavenly Father, this time, I thank you and praise you for the gathering of your children at this place. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet, mighty, and mighty presence with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. Your word is deep like ocean. Your word is living word, so precious, permanent. Heavenly Father, powerful. Heavenly Father, as we are going to meditate upon your word, kindly visit each one of us. You know my limitation. Hide me behind your cross. And Lord, you please speak to your people in a still, small voice. Satisfy us with your word. Strengthen us by your word. Sanctify us with your word. Heavenly Father, bless this entire church. I thank you for this church. Thank you for the pastor, your servant. Thank you for, Lord, the activities that are going on here. I humbly pray, Lord, that you'd please continue to bless this church. Make this church as a greater channel of blessing to many people in the days to come. Accept our thanks and praises and hear our prayers because we offer them in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. As I told you, My message this evening is very, very simple. You please listen to me prayerfully and attentively. Let me start with a simple story. In a small village, there used to live a boy by name Obed Misal. He had no parents, no house, no way of living. His day-to-day job was to beg. He was a beggar boy, Obed Misal, living in a small village. Whole day he would go on begging. Night he would come to some tree, come under some tree, sleep there, or go to some high school, sleep on the veranda. He was quite helpless. He was a beggar. One day, afternoon time, he went to a small town and started begging. He started going from street to street, from house to house. When he came to the end of the street, he saw a big crowd and a big dinner party, a marriage party was going on, wedding party. Many were eating there. He stood a little far away from that crowd. The owner of that party saw him and he came running and he said, "Boy, come and eat." And this boy, beggar boy, Obed said, "Sir, sorry, I do not have money." This man said, "No, no, no, you don't have to pay anything. Everything is free. You come and eat." He said, "Sir, how much I should eat?" "As much as you can. You can eat up to your throat, up to your neck. You eat." "How many items I should eat?" He said, "All the items, any item you like. You eat." So this beggar boy went from one dish to another. He ate this, he ate that, this, that. He ate up to his throat, his neck. Full. He did not have to pay anything. But remember, after eating, after he was full, he did not keep quiet. He did not go back somewhere to sleep, have a nap. He went running to his fellow beggars. He ran and ran and ran and found a crowd of beggars. By the way, in India, there are a lot of beggars. If you go to railway station, big crowd of beggars you will find. Bus station, every street, you will find many beggars. So this beggar boy, Obed Misal, after eating fully, he ran to his fellow beggars and shouted and said, "Come on, come on. Where? What?" They said, "I will take you to eat." "Where? Come on, I will show you." He took all those beggar friends to this marriage party, marriage dinner. And he requested that man, owner, "Sir, I have so many beggars. Can you give them food?" "Yes, come and eat." So all the beggars, they ate and they were satisfied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say amen here, but this sister says hallelujah. In India, we say hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. This beggar boy, Obed Misal, after eating fully, did not forget his co-beggars, fellow beggars. He ran and brought them to eat bellyfully. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, what is the definition of evangelism? Big scholars, big theologians, big mission strategists, they give high definition for evangelism. You know evangelism, what evangelism is? Evangelism is, the definition of evangelism is a beggar showing another beggar where the food is available freely.
Amen.
Say hallelujah.
Amen.
The definition of evangelism is a beggar showing another beggar where the food is available freely. This is evangelism. Once upon a time, this Obed Misal was like a beggar. He was completely in the darkness.
Right.
He did not know the truth. He did not see the light before. He was away from God. He was the enemy of God. But gospel came to him. And he was enlightened. He got that joy and peace everlasting, peace, unspeakable joy. And after getting this joy, peace, satisfaction, assurance of salvation, when he was full spiritually, he did not keep quiet. By God's grace, I was saved in 1970. In a Sunday school class, John 3:16 came to me in a very clear way, in a very powerful way. Ispara jagataku emanta prema kale je se apana advitiya putranku dana kale au je kahi tanka thare bishwas kare se binashta na hoi ananta jivan prapta hue. This is John 3:16 in my mother tongue Oriya. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
So after hearing this message from John 3:16 in the Sunday school class, I yielded myself to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, when I yielded myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened to me? As simple as that. Very simple. I was saved. And when I was saved, some new symptoms took place in my life. New symptoms. First symptom is, I got a hunger for the Word of God. I wanted to read the Word of God again and again. That spiritual appetite I got after I was saved. Second symptom was, I got deep desire to pray, be on my knees, pray and pray and pray. Thirdly, I got deep desire to go to the house of God, to have fellowship with one another, and to get some new truth from the pastor. Then fourth new symptom was this. I got burden for lost people. A kind of spiritual botheration started in my heart from the time I was saved. When I looked at people, it disturbed me very much. I was disturbed very much. And this holy botheration, this burden for lost people is still now. Even now, for the last 45 years, this burden is increasing but not decreasing. Evangelism means showing a beggar showing another beggar where the food is available freely.
Amen.
This is my humble testimony. And this is exactly what happened at the well of Sychar. Our topic is, remember, Sychar ministry. This is what happened at the well of Sychar at Jacob's well. You can call this topic also as personal soul winning. You also can call it as personal evangelism. You know, Jesus Christ was a master soul winner. Jesus Christ was a master soul winner. He was a great evangelist. He was a powerful evangelist. He was a successful and very, very effective evangelist. You know, when, if you read Matthew chapter number 5, in Matthew chapter number 5, we see that Jesus Christ went up to a mountain, into a mountain, and he sat there, and he opened his mouth, and he preached. Do you read that in your Bible? Matthew chapter number 5. And when he went up to the mountain, when he sat there and opened his mouth and preached, how many people were there? How many people were there? Multitude of people were there. Multitude of people. Lot of people were there. Many people were there. There were multitude of people. Wherever Jesus Christ went, many people came to him. Wherever Jesus Christ went, multitude of people thronged at him. Wherever Jesus Christ went, lot of people followed him, went after him. But you know, Jesus Christ was always interested. Jesus Christ was always concerned in individual souls. Individual soul. He preached to big crowd, but he was interested in individual. He was interested in individual. I should say that Jesus Christ was a mass individual soul winner. Jesus Christ was a mass individual soul winner. In chapter number 4, we see Jesus Christ went to Samaria. And in Samaria, he went to Sychar. And in Sychar, he went to Jacob's well. And why did he go to that Jacob's well? Simple question, humble question. Why did Jesus Christ go to that well? Simple answer is, he went there because he was thirsty. Very simple answer. Why did he go there? He went there because he was thirsty. Why did Jesus Christ go to that well? Simple answer is because he wanted to drink some water. But you know, there was another great purpose behind it. There was a big purpose behind it. That Jesus Christ went to that well. He was interested in the soul of an individual. Jesus Christ was a mass preacher. Wherever he preached, whenever he preached, a lot of people followed him, but he was always interested in individual souls. He was interested in the soul of an individual. You know, there was a woman in that city of Samaria, and we all know that she was a fallen woman. She was a fallen woman. She was living with many men, and she was living a wretched life, and she was living a very sinful life. Jesus Christ was interested in that single soul. If you read John chapter 4, verses from 7 to 26, you will see how he picked up the conversation, how he led that woman to the source of living water. You will see how that woman recognized that Jesus Christ was Messiah. She had encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had discussion. They spent time together. Jesus Christ introduced himself as a source of living water. Then what was the result? What was the end result there? When this woman encountered or met Jesus Christ, what was the end result? You know, when Jesus Christ talked to her, she was converted, her life was changed, and, you know, she left her pitcher. You call it pitcher? She left her pitcher and immediately went to Bob Jones University to do her MTH, Master in Theology. Do you read that in your Bible? She did not go to Bob Jones University after leaving her pitcher there at the well. Please read with me. I will read for you verses 28, 29, and 30. John 4, 28, 29, and 30. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Amen. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. 39, 40, 41, 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Look at this verse. Say hallelujah. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." See, soul winning, church planting, missionary movement started from that single, wretched woman, fallen woman. Jesus Christ was interested in individual soul. The end result is soul winning and church planting. Psychar ministry, personal evangelism, or leading a person to Christ, leading a person to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is psychar ministry. Jesus Christ met this woman. She left her water pot and went to her community, went to her village, went to her people, and she testified. Come and see. This is evangelism. A beggar showing another beggar where the food is available freely. My humble question to you, please, not to embarrass you, but for us to understand the message in this context. I want to put a humble question. How many of you are saved? Simple and humble question. How many of you are saved? Very good. Praise the Lord. Second question, are you sure that you will go to heaven if you die today or tomorrow, after 5 years or after 10 years? Amen. Very good. Some of you have been saved here about 10 years back. You are saved, you are here, and you are sure that you will go to heaven. Praise the Lord. Some of you have been saved here about 15 years back. Some of you about 20 years back, 30 years back, 40 years back. And in your Christian life, in your faith life, you are walking and walking and walking, and you came here. And you are very much sure that you will go to heaven if you die tonight or tomorrow. Praise God for that. But my humble question is, in your Christian life from there to here, did you give gospel to anybody in this span of time? Did you give gospel to anybody in this span of time? It's a big question. It's a humble question. There is a great man of God in America, but he is an Indian. Great man, great big preacher. He goes around the world and preaches the gospel. His name is Dr. Ravi Zacharia. I don't know if you know his name or not. He's a great evangelist, great preacher. He goes around the world and preaches the gospel. But you know how he was saved? How he first came to know Christ? He was an unsuccessful young man. Whatever he did, no success. Failure, failure, failure. He was fed up with his life. Even his parents did not like him. They hated him. So one day, he took a bottle of poison and he consumed it to end up his life. He became very serious. He started battling between life and death, and his people rushed him to the hospital. He was struggling there. While he was struggling in the hospital, an ordinary village evangelist went to him and prayed for him and gave him a New Testament. And he said, "You read the book of John, chapter number 14. He said. Because he was struggling, he could not read. He asked his servant to read for him. When he came to verse number 19, he was caught by the gospel, caught by the Holy Spirit. His life was changed. He yielded himself to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "God, if you allow me to live, I will live for you."
Amen.
Then God healed him miraculously. He became all right. Then he started witnessing for the Lord. And one old village evangelist gave him gospel. This Dr. Ravi Zacharia was saved, and he has been giving gospel throughout the world. Sychar ministry, a beggar showing another beggar where the food is available freely. We have a young man in our ministry. Of course, now he left and he is pastoring a church individually. His name is Mark, young man. His previous name, he was a Hindu, previous name was something else. One ordinary village pastor gave him gospel. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and his life was changed. When his life was changed, he came to me and said, "Uncle," they call me Uncle, "Uncle, can I join IGM?" I said, "Sure, you come and join." He joined and started serving the Lord, and he developed spiritually so much. Now he is pastoring a church in a city. And this Mark did not keep quiet. He gave gospel to another young Hindu boy. His name is Solomon. His previous name was something else. And this Solomon became Christian. And this Solomon did not keep quiet. He gave gospel to another man called Veeraswamy. This Veeraswamy's life was changed. And he did not keep quiet. He gave gospel to Paulaya. Paulaya gave gospel to another man. See, one village evangelist, a poor, low-educated evangelist, gave gospel to Mark. He was changed. Mark gave gospel to Solomon. He was changed. Solomon gave gospel to Veeraswamy. He was changed. Veeraswamy gave gospel to Paulaya. He was changed. Paula is giving gospel to other people. The cycle of soul winning. Cycle of soul winning. Sychar ministry. Personal evangelism. Soul winning. Are you all happy tonight?
Amen.
Yes?
Yes?
Yes? If you are happy, really say hallelujah. But I want to ask you, why you are happy? If you are happy, you say hallelujah. But why you are happy? Is it because you have a big bungalow? Is it because you have a lot of riches? Why you are happy today and why you are saying hallelujah? A young woman rejoices when she delivers her first child. A warrior rejoices when he wins the battle. A basketball team members rejoice when they get the trophy. But listen to me. But Charles Spurgeon says like this. Charles Spurgeon, I'm sure you have heard his name, great preacher of the world. Charles Spurgeon said, I never did know perfect happiness, overflowing happiness, unutterable happiness, till I heard of one who had found the Savior through my ministry. Did you get it? Charles Spurgeon says, I never did know perfect happiness, overflowing happiness, unutterable happiness, till I heard of one who had found the Savior through my ministry. If we are happy today, we should be happy for the souls. The Bible says there is a great joy in heaven when a soul repents. Great joy in heaven when a soul repents. The greatest joy is to know Christ and to make him known. The greatest joy is to know Christ and to make him known. We saw Jesus Christ working on Samaritan woman, an individual. We saw Samaritan woman working on her village people and her community people. We saw a village evangelist working on Dr. Ravi Zachariah. We saw a village low-educated pastor working on Mark. Mark working on Solomon. Solomon working on Veeraswami. Veeraswami working on Paulaya. If you read John chapter 1, 40 and 41, you don't have to refer to it, but just listen to me. If you read from verse number 35, you will see that John introduced Christ to Andrew. John introduced Christ to Andrew. And Andrew introduced Christ to his own brother Simon. And Simon introduced Christ to many. See the cycle of evangelism. In the cycle of soul winning, it's going on. The cycle of soul winning is going on. But question is this cycle of soul winning going on in my life? Is this cycle of soul winning going on in my church? If not, I am a dead Christian. If not, my church is a dead church. The cycle of soul winning, if it is not going on in my life, I am a dead Christian. And if it is not going on in my church is a dead church. A simple example, please. You know, Jesus Christ came to this world. He lived for 33 and a half years. He lived a perfect life, performed many miracles. Finally, he died on the cross. He shed his blood for the whole mankind. You all know this story. And he was buried in the grave. After 3 days, he rose again. And after that, he ascended up to heaven. It's a story to understand. You will not find in the Bible. Don't draw a doctrine from this. When he went to heaven, angels and heavenly beings, they gather around him. They said, Jesus, why did you go to the world? He said, I went to save souls, to save sinners. Then they asked him, how many did you save? Jesus said, a few. Then they asked him, will you go again to win souls? Jesus said, no. Then Jesus said, I gave that task to my disciples. Jesus said, I will go, but I will not go to save souls. But I gave that task to my disciples. Obed Misal in India, and my people in America, my disciples. And those angels asked him, Lord, what if they will not fulfill their responsibility? What if they do not do the work of evangelism? Then Jesus Christ said, if they neglect, if my people will neglect, I have no other alternative. Lord Jesus Christ, our God, has no other alternative. We have to evangelize. If we are saved people, we have to evangelize this world. A passion of souls is rare among the church members today. A passion of souls is rare among church members today. There is a lack of conviction in the church. There is a lack of concern for the lost people today. Today we see churches and individual Christians, they are only creedal believers. They follow the creed, but they do not have that active faith, working faith. Sometime back, when I was here, one brother, dear brother, gave me a book. The name of that book is Divine Art of Soul Winning. Divine Art of Soul Winning, written by Oswald J. Sanders, great writer. I read a story in that book. There used to be a man by name George Mingins. George Mingins was an infidel when he was a young man. And he lived in Philadelphia. And in the course of time, gospel came to him and his life was changed completely. After some time, he came to Philadelphia again and he was with one of his friends who was not a believer. He was an infidel. Then after 3 days, his unbeliever friend asked him like this, George, I came to know that you are a believer now. He said, yes. I came to know that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, yes. Are you sure that you will go to heaven? Yes. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood for the whole humankind? Yes. Are you sure that you will go to heaven? George Mingan said, yes. If you know this truth, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, if your life is changed, how come you did not share even one word with me during these 3 days and three nights? You lived with me, but you never told about your Lord Jesus Christ. Sad thing today. Is this the testimony about you and me today? Is this the testimony about my church today? We are saved. We say, praise the Lord. We say, amen. We say, hallelujah. But we never open our mouth before other people. Sychar ministry, a beggar showing another beggar where the food is available. Shall I read for you one verse from the Bible? If you want, please turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, chapter number 3. Ezekiel, chapter number 3, 17 and 18. 3, 17 and 18. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Notice that last sentence, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Whenever I read this verse, I am afraid. The wicked man will go to hell because of his wickedness, because of his iniquity. But if we do not give him the gospel, if we do not give him the way of salvation, my Bible says, his blood will I require at thine hand. That's why I'm in the ministry. His blood. We are accountable one day. When we will stand before the judgment seat, he will ask us, I'm very much afraid what account I will give. I say, God, please help me not to stand before you empty-handed. My Bible says, but his blood will I require at thine hand. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, necessity is laid upon me. Who is saying this? Paul himself. Paul says, necessity is laid upon me. It is a necessity. And he says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And Romans 1:14 says, I am a debtor. I am a debtor to everybody. Many Christians, nowadays many Christians think that it is the work of the pastor. We are paying salary to the pastor. This is his job. He has to evangelize. He has to give the gospel. No. This is false. This is unscriptural. It is committed to everybody. It is the task of, it is the responsibility of every born-again Christian. You know the name William Booth? Have you heard the name William Booth? He was the general of Salvation Army. General Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, said like this. Listen to me carefully. Every Christian should be sent to hell for 1 week. General Booth, founder of Salvation Army, says like this. Every Christian should be sent to hell for 1 week so that he will feel the need to preach the gospel. Every Christian should be sent to hell for 1 week. The value of soul, if you read Mark 8:36 and 37, you will know the value of soul. Don't forget. Please don't forget Sychar ministry. Please don't forget soul winning. Please don't neglect personal evangelism. John 4:39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman who testified. This Samaritan woman was not a highly educated woman. She was a village woman, low-educated woman, maybe illiterate woman. She was living a sinful life, wretched life. But when she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately she left her water pot and went to her community. This should be the symptom of a born-again Christian. Sychar ministry. John chapter number 4, verse number 39. Please remember this. Thank you, and may God continue to speak to you. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, preacher. God bless you, brother.
Thank you.